morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon, going to be with you for about 55 minutes this morning. I've got a wonderful guest. He's young, he's smart, and he's really involved within the city. His name is William Garrity. He is the secretary, he is the secretary for the Pittsfield School Committee. And he's been on the committee. We'll talk about him all about it. But I just want to tell you, I have to say this, let's vote. Don't forget to vote, because I'm hearing things from people that really disturb me, and that is, well, I don't like either one, so I'm not going to vote. Well, that's not good. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, never have, but please vote. Even if you go and vote for local election, I don't care. Vote. All right, without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour. My colleague, I would say, friend, new friend, William Garrity. How are you?
William. Doing good. How about you?
Well, you know, it's Monday, and I made another week, and at my age, that's a big event. So, tell us a little bit about yourself, Bill. William.
Where do I begin?
Yeah.
So I am, this is my first, well, actually, it's first technical. First year as a member of Pittsfield School Committee. I, before this, during my senior year of high school, from October of 2021 to, June of 2022? Yeah, that sounds about right. I served as a student representative to the Pittsfield School Committee, which is supposed to be elected by the student body. It wasn't during my time, then I helped to get it elected, but it's in law, every school committee is required to have a student rep, and they serve there as a non-voting member of the school committee, but as a representative of students. So I really, really loved my time out there. Before that, I was watching school committee meetings, so I was really excited to just be at the table. I started watching them since 2020, since COVID, and I really enjoyed the discussions they had on there and got really involved. I was on the superintendent search committee when that went up for hire. So I just really enjoyed it. So I decided when 2023 rolled around, I'm going to run for public office, run for school committee. Put my name in first day papers came out, and it was an interesting and an amazing election cycle to run in and be a part of and have the discussions about what we want to do to help improve our schools.
Well, I'm an old guy and I don't have a lot to do. And so I watch all the committee meetings. So I watch the school committee, even when you were back as a student rep. And I mean this very complimentary. Your questions were far beyond your years, the depth of your questions. No, I mean, and they still are. You, I don't think you talk to hear yourself talk. You have a legitimate interest in the question you asked. It's so. Other than that, other than being on the school committee and going to high school, what else do you do?
So I just graduated this past week from Berkshire Community College. So I am still a college student. I'm now at MCLA.
Oh, good.
Studying computer science. This hasn't been terribly public yet, but we'll be probably one of the Eagle reports on it this week. I am now the official student trustee of MCLA, sitting now on their board of trustees.
Wow.
So this may be the first appearance that I mentioned that.
Breaking news tomorrow. This is airing on Tuesday morning, buddy. Well, that's wonderful. But what is your interest in politics? You're a young guy. There's so many things you could be doing. Why are you interested in politics?
That's a good question. I think if we go back in the interest of politics, it started in fifth, sixth grade of the 2016 election, which brought me into how that all turned out. I just started reading news articles and seeing what's going on nationally. And I did that for quite a while. I never really paid attention to local, except for like the Eagle articles here and there and what's going on. But then in 2020, I think we started hearing when COVID hit, we started hearing things about the draconic mascot. But then I started watching school meetings a little bit just to see what's going on with that. Yeah. But then I started watching them for the COVID updates. And it's like, wow, so much happens locally. And then I just kind of got hooked. I just watched every of them. I remember I watched one meeting. They had a discussion on COVID. Went till almost midnight. I stayed and watched the whole thing.
Wow. Yeah. I find the too often people dismiss local politics And I go back and I can't remember. I can't my age. I can't remember where I parked the car, but I can't remember who said this. But all politics are local. And when you really get involved in looking at local politics, they're very interesting and they're very, very complicated in some in many aspects, not some, in a lot of aspects, as we found out with the school committee and the city council this budget season.
Yeah.
What
it's
did
a
you
very
think of that?
the budget. So
Yeah.
it was an interesting cycle being, this is my, I wasn't, and admittedly as a student rep, I wasn't terribly involved with the budget cycle. I did pay attention to how it ran. And I would say when I was a student rep, it was a decent budget cycle. This year, it was totally different. We
Yeah.
had the budget issues with the state and with the inflation factor, and I'll get to that later on. But
Yeah.
with the main issue the schools faced was that there's two issues with the inflation factor. One, it is capped at 4.5%, and for the past couple fiscal years / academic years, the inflation rate that is calculated by the state through some factor from the federal government was like 8%, but it's capped at 4.5%. So we never got that funding for that inflation.
Right.
But now, last year, the state said, well, inflation's 1.35%. Nothing's going up by just 1.35%.
Well,
Everything's 2% higher. Our special education tuition rates skyrocketing through the roof. The state even set that rate 11% increase. And so if you do the basic math, you see we have a budget deficit. And so that made the discussions really difficult. What, unfortunately, we had to cut a lot of positions. We had to make a lot of cuts. And I think the discussion around how the city council and the school committee's relationship wasn't the best this year compared to prior years. I think there's both bodies have different responsibilities, different roles. The city council has a wide range of responsibilities. So they have a lot more on their plate. The school committee has this one narrow but deep focus on education. And I think part of the reason how it all came down is that people know more about the city councils because, well, if you have an issue, pothole, trash, you want to complain about something in the city, go to your city councilor. On the education side, you have a chain of command to go through. If there's like an incident with your child at the school, you have the teacher, the principal, deputy superintendent, superintendent, then you could go to school committee. So if you have like a general complaint about schools, you might just go to the city council, not really the school committee.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what that was about. Obviously, it's about money, but I don't know. I'm a big one for collaborating, working with rather than loggerheads. I believe me, I've had enough loggerheads in my look at my head, lost all my hair over it. But I think now they're having a meeting between the school committee and the city council, I believe at Reed, to kind of try
tonight.
I don't know how to say this gently or carefully or whatever, but too often I think some people look at education, and this is my opinion. Oh, but I got to do this, William, or we'll both be in trouble. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the guy who or girl who's riding their bicycle today at the temperature just above freezing. Enjoy your ride. I worked with violent youthful offenders, and I'll make this statement and because it is my opinion, the only way to break the cycle of people involved with the criminal justice system, in young people especially, is education. Because I will tell you, there every 90, I think it was 96 or 97% of every one of them had an IEP. So You're right from that group. I mean, you know, you were in high school a couple of years ago. When I was in high school, they were still burning coal.
I think you just broke up there. I don't know if it was my internet or yours.
Oh, probably. So tell me, my thing is, and I don't know where it froze, but I'm a big believer in, I ran a violent youthful offender program. Well, I was in charge of it, but education was the number one thing. If you don't give a kid an education, and they all had IEPs, so they all demonstrate 90-something%, high 90s, demonstrated issues in school. I don't think some of the people out there, including the city councilors, realize this is a different group of people than when I was in school.
And it is. It's the world is ever changing, ever getting more complicated. We're starting to individualize our students, making sure they feel accepted and heard in our schools and ensuring education. And if you go back 15, 20, 20, probably more like 20, 30, 40, 50 years, these students wouldn't be in school. They wouldn't be taught. And that's not acceptable these days. We need to ensure that every single student in our schools gets a proper, fair, equitable education. It's their right to have education. And so typically with student IEPs, no, not all, I will have to preface it by not all, does incur a higher cost, especially if it's an out-of-district placement. And so that's why we're seeing a lot of these costs go up. It takes a lot of money to educate students. And I would even say, and I said it after the initial budget hearing of the city council, and I'll still say it, I think what we need a lot more money in education for our teacher salaries. You can look across the country. Teachers, in my view, should be making a lot more, but that requires, it's going to probably be a lot of cost, and that we can't bear that here in Pittsfield. That's why we need more state funding for that.
And federal. I mean, you know, this is a big umbrella education. And unfortunately, the bulk of it falls on the local community, or a good portion, I shouldn't say the bulk, a good portion. The other thing too is there was an opinion piece in the Eagle, applauding the school committee for underperforming schools, and now there'll be something, I can't remember the wording, but it was I found it offensive. But I want to make this comment in there. It isn't just the school department or the school committee or the teachers that make a child's education. It truly is a village. And when you have, and I don't know what the current attendance rates are, but I know at times they were deplorable. And Pittsfield did a lot. They had attendance counselors and all that. If you can't get the kids to school, that's a parental thing. That's not on the school. If the kid doesn't do their homework, I mean, there's social service agencies. There's a lot of things to help underperforming schools, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's more than just the schools to help educate. It's everyone has to be involved. And I think that tends to get lost. And I think, unfortunately, we have seen less and less parent family involvement in children's education as of late, for social economic factors that are just out of the hands of the schools. And that's, I think, what we're seeing across the country. And people point to us like, you need to do this. But ultimately, it's a societal obligation to ensure all our students are well-educated.
Yeah. And I think, too, one of the things that they missed were all the inflationary things that the school had to deal with. Gas prices went up, school bus, food prices. I mean, I know you get a lot of food from the government, but and everything. The inflation has hurt everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I look at our 70 bus transportation. The cost was going enormous to just transport special education students. That's why we decided to, as a cost-saving measure, bring some of that in-house. And now we're still looking for 7D drivers and bus drivers in general. I think we're still hiring a lot of positions. And so bringing those drivers in and has been helping stem some of these high costs we're seeing and be more fiscally responsible with our budget.
Yeah, and I understand the city council's position, but I also understand the school committee's position. And I guess I don't like to pay taxes. I don't find me four people that say, "Hey, I love paying taxes," and I'll show you four really wackos. But I don't mind paying taxes for education. I don't mind. I used to be on a fixed income. Now I'm on a shrinking income because I don't get any raises. So I'm just saying, what, in my opinion, what this school committee does and how they do it in the school department, how they do it, I'm very impressed with their modus operandi. They going back to Jake Eberwein, Dr. Jake Eberwein, and Dr. Jake McCandless, and now Joe Curtis. I have to tell you, when they come before you with anything, they back it up by facts.
Yes, they do. And there's always, like, I'm reading through our district improvement plan that we tabled from our last meeting, just give us more time to read through it. There's backup material, and then there's probably backup material to the backup material. It's a lot of the stuff that pretty much everything that comes before us is well thought out, well discussed. And then we have that discussion, and we discuss right. It among ourselves, the community representatives at the school department. And then you need, and as a city councilor who may have a lot on our plate, you don't see that process.
No,
the budget process, we spent hours, probably like a lot of like hours and meetings discussing it. And I think that's also where the communication broke down. It was at the budget hearings. It was the superintendent, the city council. Ultimately, it's the school committee's budget. And so the hope with these joint meetings is to let the city council know what the school committee thinks before and during the process, instead of after thoughts. And then it becomes interfighting between the two bodies, because we both have really important work to do for the citizens of Pittsfield to ensure their tax dollars are going fairly and equitably to city services and to make sure all our students are receiving their proper education.
I can't agree more with you. And let me tell you why I say that. Why I say that. I did like an open window, open door to school for a week. I highlighted the Pittsfield schools. And the feedback from the general public and was overwhelming. I mean, I've done shows on various topics forever. Seems like, well, I was, Marconi was in my class with me when he invented the radio. But the feedback, people, and basically I'll put it in a cup. And they said, my goodness, we never knew he had that many special needs. My goodness. People were really complimentary, not derogatory.
Yeah, and I think that's what's great about this show, is just getting this information out here. If you don't look at the school system and know what each person does, you might say, well, what do they do?
Yeah.
I mean, I struggled with that even at the college level, starting to understand it, but now being a student trustee position, I'm starting to say, okay, that's what this department does. That's what this person does. And so unless you know what they do, you don't really have an insight into why things are the way they are.
As a former old bureaucrat, I'm kind of proud of it, but as a former old bureaucrat, I would say this. I would do a survey of all the requirements placed on Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, by Boston and by Washington. Because are they really beneficial? What are we deriving from them? I mean, I had a position where every Monday I would get stacks of all these reports. I'll raise my hand. I never read them. I couldn't, because I couldn't do anything else if I sat there and read those. What are we gaining from all these reports? Because it takes staffing to collect it, analyze it, record it, and send it. And
yeah,
I mean, that's well explained.
Yeah, and I think there's sometimes a disconnect between the state with the federal the state legislature, Congress, they think of this good. I mean, they probably have well-intentioned ideas, like we want to improve the XYZ, and then as it gets through the process, and there's that disconnect between what's actually happening locally and what's happening up there, because there's so many different layers of stuff in between local and state and federal, and so that creates that disconnect, and then the reporting, and then it just paperwork upon paperwork upon paperwork.
Yes, and you're right. And what do we gain from it? Do we learn, really learn? And if we learn, do we implement? And after we implement, do we evaluate? Is this really
I think that that evaluation part is really important. Sometimes it's lost on the state. It's like, well, it's working. We think it's working, so we're just going to keep going with it instead of thinking, is it truly working though?
I agree 200% with you, and I'm not a, you know, I'm not trying to be a nasty guy or a mean guy or anything like that, but I guess I was a little taken aback by the some of the altitudes, that's what I call it, of the city councilors. And I thought, hats off to Mr. Curtis, Superintendent Curtis. He's got a great control of his emotions. and when you get these things present before, I got to say this before I forget, you're fortunate on this school committee to have not only the current mayor, but a former mayor, a former educator, and a person I think a great deal about, Sarah Hathaway. She's very much like you, and I mean this complimentary, William. When she talks, she has something to say.
I really enjoy just working with my colleagues. I think we bring just a great wealth of experience. I mean, we have a parent on the school committee. We have current and former educators. Our chair is a lawyer or a former lawyer, and he has worked in HR and has worked in public schools for a long time. And if being also a former superintendent, and I think that just we have just a great group of experience to bring to the table.
Yeah, Dr. Cameron, in my opinion, I had to clear it up a little bit. In my opinion, he's probably one of the smartest guys I know until he accepted for the second or third time the chairmanship of the school committee. Then I said, we got to have a chat, Bill. But no, I wish more people would watch. Please, if you're watching this show, it's every other what is it, the second and fourth Wednesdays, right?
Pretty much. And we have a meeting this week. Agenda be posted soon. Should be out by the time this comes out. So
yeah. And anyhow, watch it. And it's your money. You can be involved. Watch it on. It's on channel 1302. Because to me, it's a fascinating process. As I said when we started, they just thought it's not. Since Jake Eberwein, who I think thought the world, I think the world of, and Jake McCallum, when they come and want to do something and they bring it to the school committee, it is thoroughly researched, documented. It's amazing. And then the school committee, they're no slouches there either. They all stand up and have great questions. This young man right in front of me, by the way, in case you're just tuning in, this is William Garrity. He is the secretary. He's an officer in the Pittsfield School Committee, and he's the secretary for the Pittsfield School Committee. He's been gracious enough to join me this morning for the first time, and hopefully he might come back unless I scare him off like I do so many other people. But what's going to be the most challenging part of the next few years with education schools, do you think? Your opinion.
I think I'm going to think from the – there's probably two answers to this question. One is budget. I think I'm already starting to look at the next budget. We have Tracy Novick, she is the MASC field director, but also like the budget guru for education in this state. She put up something yesterday about the inflation rate, where she said it's looking like it's going to be these under 2% next year. And so we're already looking at having the same exact issue that we happened this past fiscal year come in next fiscal year. And so I think the next couple budget cycles are going to be really tough for us, tough for the city. We're already hearing stuff that the city side's not looking great either. And I believe we're going to be having that discussion tonight too, of just what's our budget going to be looking like with both the city council and the school committee there. But I would also say it's technology. I mean, we already talked about cell phones, but I'd also say AI. I think we're trying to figure out my words. I'm a computer science student, but I would say AI brings a artificial intelligence brings a lot of issues and concerns, not only to the education environment, but to how we understand literacy, to fake news, to manipulation of people's views, and just general garbage content in general generated from it, and how it doesn't accurate that truth. And I think that it's going to intersect with education, because that's how we students and the students are using it.
Yeah.
And just if our, and if it's technology influences education, education influences technology. And so that's big issues. There's other things too, but I think those are like technology and budget are probably the biggest two things that are happening in education right now.
And I going to the, cause I'm a, if it wasn't for the guys and gals at the radio station, we wouldn't be doing this, because me and technology are like this, North and South Pole. I'm in the North and they're in the South. But I'm looking at the humanistic piece. And I think you perhaps have read that book, Anxious Generation.
I have started to read it. I should pick it up again. But I've heard some articles about it, read some overviews. I've heard Sarah talk about it a lot at our meetings.
I'm into it. And I can tell you, reading it is like deja vu for me, with some of the violent youthful offenders that I dealt with, because that will also have an influence, I believe, on the educational world.
It definitely will be. I mean, we're already seeing it already, I think. It was, cell phones have a profound impact on just, not even just school in general, just general society.
Yeah.
I think I go back to, I think the most thing that stands out to me for cell phones in schools and social media. I we kind of loop those dead together. I would say they're sort of together, but they're sort of two different things altogether. I think without social media, the cell phone, we probably wouldn't be having as much. But I go back to when I was on the school committee of student rep, that we had a hoax of a safety event, a safety threat at the Conic. It was found not credible, but the rumor spread on social media, and we ended up having a good portion of school get dismissed. And so you start thinking about that and just how much impact social media has, just that one moment. But there's other moments, not as extreme as that, but like rumors spreading, and then it creates a whole host of issues. We can talk about cyberbullying, and just it's complicated and messy.
Yeah, and again, how much of it is on the shoulders of the school? Okay. If my father said, you can't take your cell phone to school, I didn't take my cell phone to school. My father didn't make a lot of edicts, but when he did, they were not debatable, you know, and you kind of knew that. And let's just take a moment before the break and just say, to the school committee, to all the people who worked on it, Dr. Bishop, all the people. That was a task that no one wanted, but you did, in my opinion, again, I think the school department did a great job doing what they resolved to this point. If it doesn't work, then you got to take additional steps. But this said to parents, help, help, help enforce the rules.
Because it can't all be us. I mean, my parents, I never had my first phone until sixth grade. And even then, it was one small track wedge here between me and my twin brother. So I didn't get my own phone really until eighth grade. And then I think our parents didn't allow us to get social media until, say, ninth grade. I opted to not get it until after high school. But I was a little different from my brother. And I think I just never really was interested in social media until realizing, oh, I should get it just to connect with people and after high school. So, but it does take the parents to get involved. You have it. I think it is like if your person's under 18, you need parent permission to use social media. I think that's in their legal guidelines that no one reads. But.
No. Well, we're going to take a break. I'm here. I'm having a great time, and I hope William is also. This is William Garrity. He is it's safe to say he's the youngest member of the Pittsfield School Committee. He's also the secretary for the Pittsfield School Committee. He's and tell us again, what are you doing at MCLA, please?
I am now the recently elected student trustee of MCLA, sitting on their board of trustees, which is like their school committee, but different.
Yeah. Watch this guy. He's going places. Trust me. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. Thank you for listening. Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
What's going on here?
Combining the miracle of modern technology with the secrets of ordinary street junkies. Producing this.
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
El condado de los Berkshires se dirige hacia un mañana más brillante y ese futuro comienza contigo. Los Berkshires están al borde de caer en una gran crisis de salud mental debido a la falta de acceso, dejando algunos pacientes, especialmente niños, esperando meses para recibir la atención adecuada. Tú puedes ayudar abogando por ti mismo y por otros para encontrar carreras en la salud mental. Sé un héroe de la salud mental para los Berkshires. Para obtener más información, visita briancenter.org o namibc.org.
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I'm here today. I'm having such a wonderful conversation with this young man. His name is William Garrity. He is the youngest member of the school committee. He is also the secretary to the school committee. And we're here. I wanted to have Mr. Garrity on for a lot of reasons. I'm going to try to have all the school committee people on because I think we don't hear enough from them. And they are keepers of our future, because they are in charge of education of our children. But they're not the only ones. Parents have responsibility. Most of you know, I've said 1,000 times, I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program. A lot of it, the parents, some of them were just out straight. They had just to survive. They were working 2 and 3 jobs. And all. We understand that. So we should help them with social service agencies. That's my opinion. And of course, everybody knows views and opinions expressed on this program are mine, those are my guests. No way. Represents Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti and the mayor, Peter White and the city council. William, so outside of money, which is the king of everything, but what do you see as the humanistic challenges coming in the future?
I mean, as I said earlier, I think it's going to be technology, both with cell phones and artificial intelligence, and just whatever comes out with technology in the next few years. I mean, going back to the cell phone issue, from my experience, I never really used social media in high school. When I used cell phones, mostly my time on the cell phone was looking at news articles and later on school committee minutes. Some really just stuff to just keep me engaged in politics and all that. But that's not the same experience with my colleagues. They use social media a lot. I remember TikTok was starting to boom in 10th grade and people doing their TikToks around school. And I was like, why? But I think we're starting to do that more because I've said this probably in a prior radio interview a year ago at this point. The social media apps are by nature supposed to be addicting. These companies want money.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
They want money. And so they make their algorithms and stuff so that you stay on addicted. And even I fall into that trap and just trying to create short form content that keeps people's attention spans engaged only for a small period of time. And we're starting to see the consequences of that in our schools now. And it's unfortunate. And I mean, we're trying to address it with our cell phone policy, being mindful of different students that may have different needs. But we're just trying to tackle large multinational corporations that have a gain on us now in this technology world. And it's a little scary.
I also, as you said earlier in the show, and we do repeat some things here because it's a morning show. People are in and out, getting the kids on the bus, going to work. I'm as excited about AI as I can be, but I'm as worried about as AI as I possibly can be. It's the bear in the China shop.
Yeah, I think from a computer science student perspective, though not like I'm a tech enthusiast, but not really. I would say AI kind of mostly scares me. It's a fun tool to play around with. When I ran Technology Club at BCC, we played around with it a lot because it was a cool, just fun mess around with, but it has like really bad implications on society. It's ethically a moral mess because it's technically plagiarized a bunch of content from the internet. It's scraped a bunch of content from the internet without permission, the content owners. So basically, technically, it's just big plagiarism. And so that doesn't fit well with education. I mean, some people are trying to put AI in education. I think we shouldn't because it's plagiarism.
That's excellent.
AI is just a plagiarism generator, basically. And I feel it doesn't really have a good place in our education, but also it has a scary aspect of making like fake news articles.
Right.
We're sort of seeing that with the 2024 election. You can just generate an article about whatever you want and people may believe it, and it's a little scary. And well, now the gospel. Internet.
It's gospel. I read it on the internet. It's gospel.
And it's kind of interesting to see how that argument has changed. It used to be don't believe anything on the internet, and now it's believe everything on the internet, and it's a little scary. that we've now into this mess. And even trying to find stuff online now, it's a lot of AI generated garbage, and it's just research is getting hard in general on the internet.
Yeah, and I think too that it's all like all technology, in my opinion. It has its good points and it's had its bad points. And we just have to kind of weave our way through both, good and bad. And I like I said, I'm be honest with you, because of my criminal justice background too, I'm totally worried about how that will influence so many things. The other thing I wanted to ask you too is, when the schools, how are you dealing with the attendance issue?
So we had a discussion about that last year, the state and still is focusing on attendance. And ultimately, I feel we could be doing more, and I feel like the state could be supporting us more. They said, here's a grant of a few thousand dollars to fix attendance. You can't just advertise, come to school. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
And yeah, the side effect of students who are sick are going to be kind of guilt-tripped into school, and I don't think we should be doing that, personal opinion, post-COVID. Well, we try not to. And so I feel we had, before the ESSER funds, the state COVID grants, slash COVID grants ran out, we had family engagement coordinators who help engage with the families. And that helped to drive our attendance rate up, because now we have a point person to engage with these families. Unfortunately, the funds ran out. We had our budget issues. And unfortunately, that kind of dwindled to the side. But this was a model that really worked. And we just don't have the funding to do it. And the state's like, you should address your attendance issues. It's not part of your state indicator rating at the state level, but they're not really providing the sports. I mean, I think I saw somewhere on for Pittsfield, we have some billboards up with like school attendance important, but that's not going to fix the issue. I mean, I also think there was an article that came out, some newspaper talking about, I think maybe it was Atlantic, like months and months ago, talking about how other districts are doing it, trying to hire people to go door to door to do it. But we just don't have that funding here. And I think if the state wants to make attendance important, we need the funding to re-engage these family engagement coordinators, because that model is really working for us.
I was so angry when that happened because it was working. And for all times for the federal government to pull that money when it's a national problem.
Yeah.
It's not just Pittsfield. And I think sometimes people in Pittsfield, elected officials, non-elected officials, just folks in general, think it's all only Pittsfield. I use a broader look when I doing some research for something else, and it is a national problem, attendance today, a national problem.
And that's why the state's focusing on it. It's a problem everywhere. It's not just a Pittsfield thing. Right. And as you said, the code funding, I will admit to, we did know about the end of it. It's that the needs are still there. The federal government said, okay, you're going to have this many years to implement this grant, but the needs are still there. It didn't just stop as of September 30th of this year. We still have great increased needs since post-COVID. And unfortunately, Congress isn't in the best state to address that right now.
No. We won't go there, William. This show would have to go for 12 hours just to cover the first day. But no, I applaud. And again, this is kind of a hue and cry to parents and grandparents out there, because I'm a grandparent. Let's make sure that if a kiddo needs a ride to school, let's get the kiddo a ride to school. I mean, there's that formula, William, where if you miss 10 days or whatever, I mean, it's amazing the loss of education by just missing I had a parent tell me, well, my son, he's missed a few days. Well, I happen to know it's more than a few, but that's that's one of the other things. So if you're not there, it's not only that you're not there, you're not getting the education you need.
Yeah. And even as like, even as a student, I remember going back to eighth grade, I missed 2 days because I was sick. I was like, the day after, I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And I mean, I tried my best to not get sick during school, but like, it's if you miss like 10 days, you're lost. And I mean, we should support students try to bring it back to schools, but the attendance is really important.
And I applaud the effort that you guys are putting forth. And I share a little history, family history with you. My uncle was the truant officer for the city of Pittsfield for years. So we didn't skip school. That wouldn't have been healthy. What do you have planned for your future? If it's too personal, you don't have to address it.
My goal is to graduate at MCLA for a computer science bachelor's degree, but I really want to stay in Pittsfield.
Good.
Growing up here, I love it up here. I mean, it could be better. I think everything can be better. But I just have family here and just so much of growing up. So I really want to stay in Pittsfield. I'm looking at what my job prospects are with having a computer science degree in the community. And that's where I am. As of right now, I don't foresee myself going to really higher office. I really enjoy the work I do on the school committee.
Oh, cool.
And I want to keep doing that. And that's education's kind of like thing that I have most interest in, most knowledge in, being a former student, but now starting to understand what happens behind the scenes. And so that's what I'm looking towards.
As they say in Washington, now you're seeing how the sausage is made. You know, what have you found to be the most enlightening part of the school committee that you didn't perceive it when you were a student rep, but you now that you're making the sausage, what's been enlightening?
I would probably say just seeing our students graduate. I attended both the DeConnick and PHS graduations this year, and just instead of sitting in the audience or on stage as valedictorian, I was sitting on the stage platform and just being able to see all the great work our students are doing. I remember sitting at the DeConnick graduation and having my former English teacher, Mr. Duffy, I love him as a teacher. I really enjoyed his class. And having him sing with another student as a student project, I was like, wow, just see the amazing work we're doing. And just, I remember walking away from there, like, I am proud to be a member of the Pittsfield School Committee, proud to be a citizen of Pittsfield.
Oh, that's cool.
And just proud to be here.
That's very, yeah. And you might not realize it. My wife, I refer to her as the Polish princess. She taught for over 41 years. And it's a very rewarding career because people that she had in the first grade, they're now seeing her with their kids or grandkids, some of them. So what's been the most challenging part of being on the school committee?
I could go in many different directions. I think it's financial aspect. You have just trying to do everything with the amount of funds you're given. Contract negotiations are still ongoing, and that as a student rep, I never had any insight into how that works, and I will not divulge anything with it, but just that process has been very interesting, and just seeing how that works internally, because as a student rep, we never really attended executive session, and
right.
That's where all it happens, and so just being able to see that process is a very great learning experience. It's just the insight of what actually, how the sausage is made, actually.
Right, yeah, and I, if you could change one thing as a school committee person, what would it be?
There's so many things. I think statewide, I would say just having the state be more collaborative with local districts instead of this combative. I think there's a resolution that has been in the MASC bucket for the school committee association bucket for a while now is getting the state to allow school members to sit on the board of education, elementary and secondary education. Teachers cannot serve on it. School members can't serve on it. I think closest a school member is probably the student representative on the board of elementary and secondary education who sort of can probably serve on the school committee too. And so we don't that board doesn't have any insight to what's actually happening with the school committees. And so that's a lot of the tension. We saw it during COVID, a lot of tension between this and that, and it just felt like there was that lack and disconnect, and I'd love for there to be more connect. I'm hopeful with the current commissioner. He seems to be doing a good job at trying to be more collaborative, and that's what I'm really looking towards. So I think that's like one thing I would change. It's probably just that collaboration with the state.
Well, that's an excellent point, because that is the same philosophy or belief, I guess, is that I've had. You sit down there in the ivory tower and you edict and edict and edict and edict, and you don't understand, hey, dude, we're trying to get kids in the door. You know, it's nice that you should say every kid should have a computer, but we're a small school district. And that's an excellent point. And William, really, I mean, this kind of, that was a, because that a lot of people like that are not directly involved in education are seeing the kind of the missteps that are being made at this level without knowing what's going on at the ground level.
Yeah, and that knowledge is really helpful, just so you can direct course. The state has this high level overview of what's happening. I mean, it's helpful to have a student representative on there.
Yeah.
But if without the school committee and the school administration perspective, you don't have the full puzzle piece. And that one student has a lot of responsibility to represent the whole state of students. Yeah. And they have their own student advisory council, which is a little bit of a part of at one point. But I think having a school committee member on the board of education would just change things.
I don't disagree. I really don't, because you've got someone sitting there who is facing the battle every single day.
Yeah.
Right? School committee member, the superintendents, the teachers, the principals. Before we run out of time, though, I have to say to you to pass on, what they have done at Taconic High School with their vocational education, to me, should get a gold star from somebody of importance. Miss Gage, Tammy Gage, Deputy Superintendent, and she got a, what's that official title? Because it's that long.
Assistant Superintendent for College and Career Readiness. That's the full term.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they'd have to get a billboard for her business card. But what she's done in driving that program, her and Mr. Bishop, I mean, you can't say enough. It just came into my mind that by now you realize that it's fleeting. So I got to tell you. So in the old Taconic, you knew where the radio station was there, right? Down that little cubbyhole.
Yeah. I was at the new Taconic when I started, but my dad actually went to Taconic. So my sister went to the old Taconic. So I got to see where everything was.
Yeah. Yeah. So every morning I'd walk down that hallway and there'd be one girl on this side and one girl on this side. So almost at the end of the year, I finally had can I ask you a question? They said, oh, sure. Who are you texting? Her. Across the hall. Why didn't you just talk to her? But you understand the technology piece of that. It's amazing how much these phones have captured the life of so many kids.
Yeah, and it's interesting to look at. But to add to your point about the Taconic, I think it's great work happening there. I think they have done amazing to it. I remember in 10th grade, I believe. I remember there was the initial talk about the Taconic going vocational, but there was some fears about the arts. We had some really great art. We had a really, and I would say still do have a really great art department.
Yeah.
Both art and theater. And
oh, yes, absolutely.
We were worried about looting it. So I met with Dr. McCandless at the time, and it's like, I had this idea for maybe like a technical theater program. And he was interested. And years later, boom, we have a media production.
Yes,
vocational stuff at Taconic. And it's like, we could do a lot with CTE.
Well, and you want an aside story to that? When they were going to close the radio station at Taconic, I developed up, because the state said, that, you know, whatever the state says, but a kind of like a trial curriculum for it. And but they stay still. And that's why we WTBR and PCTV and at the time, Dr. McCandless and Mayor Tyre and a whole bunch of Peter Marchetti, a whole bunch of people, Sean Sayre, all came together and said, we'll take it. It's too valuable an outlet for the city of Pittsfield to let it just fly, by the way. So that's why we took it. And you know, Sean Sayre and Dave Cachet and Jeff and David Wyatt and Jeff Facilio and everybody, they have so blown this thing up. We're streaming and YouTubing and all stuff. I don't know. I just shake my head when they say it. Oh, yeah, I understand. It's just easier. If they try to explain it to me, I'll be gone and they'll be catching me. So before we close, anything that you want to say about your time on the school committee? What's the best part and what's been the worst part? There's the question.
I think it's just seeing our students succeed, going to the graduations and all that, and just being able to just see our students succeed. And it's just really amazing to see that. And it makes me feel like we're doing a good job, even though we still have a lot more to do. And I will just say before we wrap up, if you're looking to find more information about school committee, look me up on Facebook, William Garrity, Pittsfield School Committee. I post there, every single agenda is posted there. I do recaps of all the meetings. There's also a newsletter you can sign up for. If you go look up me on that Facebook page, it's like the first post pinned to be that newsletter. And I do that every week, except during the summer. I did miss one a couple weeks ago. I was sick, so I missed it that whole week. But I do try to recap every meeting, try to keep everyone updated, because I think, as we talked about, a lot of people don't really know what happens at the school committee level.
Right.
And so just being able to share, this is what happens, this is what happened, this is why we decided this way. I think just that's my way of trying to just bring more awareness to the work we do.
And, you know, before we run to... folks, listeners, viewers, I'm working with Mr. Curtis in the station, Sean Sayre. We're going to do another open the doors to the Pittsfield school system and interview some of the folks. I will let you know in advance because the feedback was so positive, so overwhelming. And I felt so good about doing it. So, and William will be back on many times. He just thinks this is his first. No, it's not. So, I can't thank you enough, one, for coming on the show, but also all the work you do on the school committee, because I do watch that. And I kid a lot, but your questions are, again, mature behind your years, but also your attentiveness is never waning, and that's a compliment.
Sometimes too attentive, though.
Well, sometimes you have to be. As I always say, I've got some announcements. You don't have to stay, but if you'd like, you can. As they say in the military, stay the course, because you're a wonderful asset to the whole thing. So, and I mean that, stay the course, and good luck.
Thank you.
I know you got another meeting coming right up. If you want to jump off, go ahead, and I'll read these announcements.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on the show. I've really enjoyed it, and it was great chatting with you this morning. And
thank you.
I'm excited for the next interview.
Well, hang on, brothers, right around the corner. Thank you. Thank you, William.
Yeah. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. God bless. Bye. All right, here we go. One of the things that I want to get out to, and it's really kind of important to me to do it. National Friend of Libraries Week, October 20th through the 26th. So go and visit your local library. There's all kinds of really great things happening. They have the sales. On the 22nd, they have a half price sale. DVD giveaways, a friend's display on the 23rd. On the 24th, they have free, oh, I'll be there for that, free cookies in the food zone. You know, I'll be there. So do that. Also, this is a very important one to so many people, and I've been asked to repeat it. On the third Wednesday, from 1 to 3 in the boardroom at the Ralph Riles Senior Center, a memory cafe is a casual social group for caregivers of people with mild cognitive impairment and memory loss. This is a wonderful thing for caregivers, for people with mild memory loss and everything. So if you can, go ahead and drop by if you're interested in that and just see about it. I would like to just say that Mr. Garrity is an impressive young man, and he is a product, and we should be proud of that, of the Pittsfield school system. Think about it. God bless. And remember, today, lift somebody's burden for them. Make them smile. Call them on the phone. We're all in this together. We got to take care of each other. Take care. Talk to you soon.